Hi, everybody. It's Jim Beke, and my podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Things are changing, moving quickly, and not always making sense. And I was reminded of the Rudyard Kipling poem, and I'll just won't bore you with the whole thing, but the first paragraph kind of sets the scene for what we're doing and what we're going through right now. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait, not be tired by waiting or being lied about. Don't deal in lies or being hated. Don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream, not make dreams your master. If you can think, and not make thoughts your aim. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life for too, broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. It's kind of that kind of time, sort of moving along the continuum from last week. We talked about the ever-changing environment, and you know, I see my greatest responsibility in doing these podcasts is to help everyone prepare for tomorrow and the following week and the following month and give you some sustenance and some thoughts that maybe you didn't have before or you did have before, kind of reinforced by my words or by other people's words. It's unfortunate, the tragic death of the gentleman in Minneapolis, the follow-on of rioting going on throughout the United States, and this civil unrest that is brewing. And I can't help but believe that part of it is falling out of this whole period of time that we're in that is just spinning like a top that seems to be spinning out of control. We've got to ensure that we're being productive as possible. We've got to ensure that if there's a possibility that we could lose our jobs, that we have a plan on which to get another job. And then lastly, I want to talk a little bit about later on about all of you kids coming out of college and thinking about what am I going to do? Where am I going to go work? And given the environment that we're currently in, how am I going to go about doing that? I happen to have one of those myself, and I'll talk about my son Sam a little later. But I think following on the theme last week, talking about people thinking about their work day, getting themselves back into some routine. I was out with a client yesterday playing some golf, and he was telling me about one of their clients who every morning gets up, he puts his suit on, and he puts his tie on the same way as if he would, and he sits down in front of his screen. And when he inquired, my friend inquired about it, he said, I have to get into the work mode. I have to get into that mentality. I have to come to terms with the fact that the only thing that is different in reality is my location and creating that sort of professional environment of which we go to work in. Now, in his particular case, he works in a jacket and tie type of environment. But I think that once we create this pattern, I think it will go on autoplay. I think it'll be the same autoplay that you had before, but in a different place. And it'll require a different approach to it. Start to find some comfort in it, because I think that's probably what everybody is searching for, is how do I find a comfortable place? How do I find a spot? You know, there are a lot of people out there that are dying to go back to work. They're dying to go back to a particular spot. They like the routine. There are many people, and I sympathize with them, who have young children. And this working from home is becoming extremely difficult for them. Corporations are starting to recognize that, you know, people can't just work at sort of the kitchen table and things like that. And I just recently saw, and I posted on LinkedIn, that Google is giving $1,000 to each of their employees who are working from home so they can better outfit their places, whether it's better chairs, better tables, one of the other things, and I find this in my own household, and my kids aren't little, but children are unsettled as much as the adults, right? And they see all of this stuff on the news, and they hear about, you know, unemployment, and these are, you know, these are frightening things for young sort of coming out of college, going into college. My daughter's heading off to university in the States to play golf. And I said to my friend yesterday when we were playing golf, I said, you know, she'll never have that same experience that we did at university. And he said, yeah, but we had a different experience than our parents did. And I said, yeah, ours was better. And we started to laugh. And we realized that previous generations all had a better and better and better experience. And that this is the first one that might not have a better experience. There may be more rules and regulations. There may be more fear. But they're going to have to learn to cope with it. And we're going to have to learn to help them cope with it. And we're going to have to understand that saying, oh, don't worry about it, it'll be okay, you know, they'll figure it out, or this or that, that just doesn't cut it. So when it comes to your kids and they're going off to school and they're trying to figure out what their lives are going to look like, it's really important, I think, to take the time, not deny their feelings, and understand that you don't have an answer. But I do know that worrying excessively about something never accomplished anything. And so constantly reinforce to them that, you know, you just got to keep abreast of things, keep learning, use your wits about you, think about things before you do them, just have to be more careful. I want to talk to, you know, this week was kind of a big week for us in our household. My son Sam got a brand new job and in the tech space, and he had been interviewing with a number of different companies. And I was really proud of him, not only for getting the job, but I was really proud of him because in his final interview, he'd had several of them. They wanted him to do a case study, a mock interview on a client, and he could pick a sector. And he understood that most people had already picked real estate sector, and it was a pretty good sector to pick for this particular company. But he wanted to sort of go towards the medical field as an opportunity for this company. And it was an interesting juxtapose, because Sam said to me, well, the tried and true route is real estate, but I think there's bigger opportunity in the medical side. But everybody I've talked to said, no, just stick to real estate. It's a safe way and everything else. And so he did. He stuck to that side, which actually surprised me, but it was great. And when he was doing his mock interview, at the end of the mock sales pitch, sorry, not interview, at the end of the mock sales pitch, the people that were interviewing him from the company said, we want you to evaluate your own sales pitch, mock sales pitch. And so Sam said, okay. And he said, you know, what I realized when I was listening to myself is I was not listening to the client's needs. I was trying to sell them a product regardless of whether they needed it or not. And the interviewer said, yeah, that's right. We would have said the same thing. And by the way, that's how most people coming into their first job think about selling, is they think they're selling the product. And what I was particularly proud about with Sam is Sam said to him, can I do it again now that I know what I know? And they said, sure. And so Sam redid the mock sales call, clearly because he got the job, knocked it out of the park. But that willingness to ask that question, that willingness to put himself out, that willingness to be very, very critical of himself in his process, at the end of the day, is what won them over. And after the interview, they said to him, well, we'll be back to you by next Friday and let you know whether you got the job. Within the next 30 minutes, they called him back and they said, you've got the job. And one of the things they said to him, the reason you got the job is, we've had hundreds, if not into the thousands, of people that have applied for these jobs. And we've interviewed endless number of people. And no one has ever asked to redo the mock sales call. And it allowed him to distinguish himself ever so slightly, but sufficiently enough that impressed them. So when you're thinking about companies and you're thinking about different, you have to give them a reason to hire you. You have to make yourself valuable to them. You have to show them that you have something that really sparks their interest, whether it's creativity, whether it's confidence, intelligence, understanding. I'm working on an assignment currently, and he has interviewed with everybody in the organization, and he blew them away. And part of blowing them away was how much he knew about the organization. And so when I called him up and I said, wow, I said, you know, everybody was really impressed with how much he knew about their organization. And he said, well, I read their last 2 years worth of annual reports. He said, I read all the investor presentations. And he said, I read all the press releases for the 2 years. He probably knew more than anybody in the company. But can you imagine how impressive that is for a company hiring, that someone would take that amount of time to get to know the company? Like, that's distinguishing himself, right? That's not distinguishing himself in his particular field, but that's distinguishing himself as a human being. And that distinction shouldn't only apply to if you're looking for a new job, should apply to you if you have a job. You should think about yourself in your job in the same way as if I was applying for this job, how would I want to impress? How would I want them to understand who I really am and what I'm really good at, as opposed to just being on the production line going stamp, 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 stamp. So let's move on and talk about how do I find a new job? You know, whether I'm a student coming out of university, I'm Sam, or my other friend that I'm working with, or anybody. So how do we go about it? I mean, 25% unemployment in the United States, or 20%, whatever it is in Canada. And I think the challenge here is going to be it's going to be incumbent upon individuals to really do their homework. To really do their homework twofold. One, in really building that basket of understanding of what my skills are and how applicable they are in a number of industries. That just because I'm in the financial services industry doesn't mean I have to stay in that industry. My skills are transportable. But I think that, you know, for any of you that have read my book and listened to stuff before, and you know that I truly believe in that we're all about a combination of skills, and that those skills are really transportable. What's really made it difficult over the years is that people tend to think in a linear fashion. You know, you're in the banking business, you're in this business, you're in this business, and you don't have the ability to go across verticals or anything else. But the difference today is, in any other time in the past when unemployment was high or the economy was in difficult times, it tended to be right across the board. 2008, the economy went into the shitter, and it was right across the board. But if you actually sit back and you look at the stock market and you actually look at the companies that are doing well and, in fact, are doing extremely well, and whether it's through LinkedIn or through job boards and all of these different tech and healthcare and biotech and all of the businesses, the delivery businesses, the online businesses, they're all doing extremely well. All their stocks are at all-time highs. And so people need to start thinking about those types of companies, looking at those companies, going to their websites, seeing what jobs they have, and then seeing how their skills can be applicable to those companies. And I think what you'll end up doing is you'll end up finding there are a lot more opportunities in companies and industries that are available than you perhaps thought about. I think about my own producer, Katie, who worked for a company and, you know, through this period of time, was before it all got crazy, was about to launch her own new business in podcasts. Well, podcasts are growing at an exponential rate. Everybody has them. It's a new form of advertising. It's a new form of social media. There'll be other new forms of social media. There'll be other new forms of advertising. There'll be other new businesses that'll be spun off from these businesses. And regardless of your age or your experience or the industry that you've been in, you need to start to think of yourself from a skill set and who could use my skills. All kinds of businesses are going to change. New businesses are going to be created. This is going to be really an exciting time, but you got to do the work. You got to do the research. Understanding companies, understanding where they're going, have some good ideas, and start pursuing those opportunities. But always from a skill set perspective. This is what I'm good at. If you're good at sales, presumably Salesforce.com, presumably 100 other different companies that are perhaps selling online now. Financial people, analysts, associates, all kinds of different people. People that are doing technical work like my producer, producing my podcast. There's a whole world of new opportunities being created. They're not going to come in traditional form. They're not going to come knocking on your door the way they might have in the past. They're going to require you to do a little bit of homework and a lot of sort of legwork. But I think what will happen is everybody will end up that does that work. Everybody will end up that understands what their skill set's in. Everybody will end up in the next chapter of their lives, which will be way more exciting than the last one was. So this week, do your homework. Whether you have a job or you don't have a job, take a assessment of, like, what are my skills? Take a moment and look at what companies are growing, what companies are doing extremely well, what kind of people do those companies need? The service sector is obliterated. The likelihood is it's not going to come back in the same fashion as it was before. But what I do know is those people are going to have to find other jobs. Those people are going to have to think differently. And so if you want to win at the game, you got to get out there ahead of the pack, and you got to think differently, and you got to force yourself to think differently. And if you do, you'll either decide to stay where you are because you're well-suited and you're valuable and they realize it, or your days are numbered and you better beat them to the punch and know where you're going next. Good luck this week. Jim Bakey, be you. The world will adjust.